Glad you're here this morning. We're going to continue our series on the book of James. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And so to me, what that means is it's hard to separate those two. They're joined together because Jesus came, he was full of both. They were intertwined and intermingled in him and through him. And you know, when we look at the book of James, we'll be in chapter 1 still today. James, sometimes his writings seem to be at times a little light on grace and heavy on truth. And that's okay, because that's his emphasis, but it still doesn't separate the two. Because if it were not for the grace of God, there go I. I wouldn't be here. So, last week we started in James chapter 1, and you know, just to review a little bit, if you weren't here, he says, count it all joy when you experience various kinds of trials, and that doesn't mean be happy about going through persecution or suffering or pain or difficult times. What he's speaking of is our attitude. What is our attitude when we're going through those trials? And we saw that last week that faith endures trials. Faith produces patience, and patience develops a mature Christian, which is the goal of the Christian life, to get off the milk and to get on the meat. And, you know, the truth is you're not going to find a lot of milk in the book of James, but you will find grace and truth. Let's look at verse 12. We'll pick up there. I touched on it last week. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Temptation here in this verse means testing. Testing in or under a trial or a tribulation or a challenge. Now, we're going to look at verse 13 and the context is going to change. He says in verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, tempted here means something we're all familiar with, solicitation to evil. Temptation to do something evil or ungodly. And James is clear here that, and we need to be clear, God does not tempt us in regards to evil. God is and cannot be tempted by evil. And so he doesn't tempt anyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. In other words, endure it. Not succumb to it. Not give in to it. Not submit to it. Now, it doesn't say God brought the temptation here, but it does say God is faithful and he'll provide a way of escaping the temptation. Examples, teenagers, young people going to parties, hanging out with friends that they're drinking and doing drugs and other things. God gives you ways out. When you're in that situation, you can say no, You can refuse the invitation, or you can even change friends. But God will give you a way of escape. Adults, same situations, same answers. Sexual temptations. You know, when the conversation's leading in the wrong direction, in the conversation, change the topic. Exit stage left. God gives you a way and an opportunity to escape any temptation known to man. The Word. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own, by what? His own desires and enticed. You see, here's the point. Temptation originates in our own desires. Now, we don't like to own that, but is this true? Is this word true? If you believe this, it's true. And he clearly says, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. It draws you away. Your own desires draw you away from what? From God. From the Holy Spirit's conviction. You see, our human nature is the blame game. We tend to blame others for things that really are our doings. We tend to blame others for our failings. You know, the Bible says, I want you to listen to this. Everybody knows, most everybody knows the story about Adam and Eve. But you know what the Bible says? Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, so that all sinned. Sin entered the world through one man. Wait a minute. I thought Eve took the apple and ate the apple. Right, guys? She did. But guess whose responsibility she was? You see, he says sin entered the world through one man. It didn't say one woman. Adam sat back on his spiritual leadership responsibilities and allowed it to happen, and then even took part. You see, was drawn away. She was drawn away by her own desires, but then he followed along. He was drawn away by the same thing. Don't say, he or she tempted me, or this or that tempted me. You see, temptation is not the problem. You are. I am. Verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. We just read in Romans 5:12. You see, desire, it says, has conceived. That means when a desire forms, it's like formed like a child is formed in the womb. Conceived means to form a notion or an idea or imagine something. That's why idle minds are unhealthy. You see, once desire is formed, if it's not defeated immediately, if you're holding on to it, if you're feeding it, not fleeing from it, it causes it to become or to give birth to sin. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Now, here's something I want you to understand. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. See, when the desire forms and then it's acted upon or carried out, then it becomes sin. See, we're all peculiar in some way. Like, which hand do you stir your coffee with, left or right? Like, how many stir their coffee with their left hand? Let me see your hand. All right, how many stir it with your right hand? See, we're all peculiar. I thought most people stirred it with a spoon. You see, we're peculiar, but when we let something form in our mind and stay there, it's conceived, and then if we leave it there, if we don't deal with it, it gives birth. Some people are tempted to, speaking of peculiarity, some people are tempted to drink to drunkenness. Some are tempted to overeat. Others are tempted in the area of sex. But listen to me, drinking, eating, or sex is not the problem. It's always the individual. It's the individual and how they deal with that and how they allow that to take over their life. There's a story about an older gentleman years and years ago, way back in the 20s. And he was going through the countryside in his little car buggy, is what they were back then, Model A's. And he got lost, and he came to this little town. Well, it was kind of a town, kind of a crossroads, no signs or anything. And there's two little kids playing out by the road. And he stopped, and he got out, and he said to the kids, "Where am I?" And the two little kids kind of looked at each other. One of them scratched his head, and he pointed at the man. He said, "There you are." You see, this is how sometimes it works with sin. We tend to rationalize our sins so much in the church. Tempers, gossip, lying, fornication. Yes, in the church. It doesn't matter if it's polite sin or gross immorality. It's still sin. And once it's carried out, it brings death, spiritual death, broken fellowship with God. And we often want to blame this or blame that or blame our past or blame our circumstances. And no, you know the answer is? You know what the answer is? There you are. There I am. Verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. Deceived is, you know, deception is a terrible thing. Because so often the person who is under deception doesn't realize it, and other times they just don't care. James is saying here, don't wander. Don't even think about it. Don't even think that you can get away with sin. You see, the Bible tells us to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Take our thoughts captive, making them obedient to Christ. And here's the point. You can be deceived through your thoughts. You can be deceived through your thoughts. In fact, many people are. You see, if there's no word in your life, if there's no prayer in your life, if there's no Spirit, no Holy Spirit in your life, you can be deceived pretty easily. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's a reason for that. If you don't take your thoughts captive, they will soon take you captive. That desire will be conceived and eventually give birth to sin. Your own desires will take you captive and deceive you. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of what? Lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow or turning. In other words, he doesn't change. He doesn't change. God does not change. Here's what I want us to see. Back to the truth that God doesn't tempt with evil. Right here, as it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father. That's all he gives. Perfect good gifts. And they're countless. They're countless. He doesn't give evil or bad gifts to us. He gives life. He gives abundant life. He gives blessings of faith, protection, provision. It made me think of an example how humans kind of get it twisted. I was in the insurance business, commercial insurance, for 26 years or more. And the insurance policies have exclusions. You've probably noticed that if you've ever been bored enough to read an insurance policy. I had to do it for a living. But there's a place in there in exclusions where it says, excluded are acts of God. And I didn't think about it at the time, but the more I think about that, are you kidding me? Acts of God? And it gives examples, you know, sometimes different things are excluded. And they're not acts of God, they're acts of nature. God, the Father, only gives good and perfect gifts. So why would I be worried about him destroying my house or destroying my vehicle or property or whatever? You see, no, the insurance policy should read acts of nature, because nature are the things that have been put in motion in the universe. But they're not acts of God. They're just part of his creation. God doesn't give bad or evil gifts. Here's the point: God's word. God's word will hold in check temptation, unhealthy desires, and prevent spiritual death. God's word, if you'll just read it, you know, I find this true in my life all the time. If I'm struggling spiritually or attitude or just struggling, fighting depression or something, I'll just read the Word. And it's amazing how it changes me. You see, God's Word will counteract temptation because it will allow the Holy Spirit to use it to bring conviction. It'll counteract unhealthy desires. Same way. And it'll prevent spiritual death. It'll prevent that desire from being conceived and then giving birth to sin. Just by getting in the Word. In verse 18. Of his own will. Of his own will. Whose will is that speaking of? Yeah, God's. See the capital H? That means God. Okay. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That would be Jesus. That we might be kind of first fruits of his creature. Of his creatures. The first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will. You see, by his will, he gives the gift of life through Christ, through the gospel. You could interchange that if you want to say the word of truth, Jesus, or the gospel. They're all intertwined. It's his will, and by his will, that he's given a gift of life. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him by faith, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And here it is, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of your own will, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, you didn't have anything to do with being born again. It's God's will. It's by God's will, and your will, by your will, you responded to his will. You see, he does give us a free will. And with our will, we have to respond to his will, but we didn't, our will didn't create salvation. God's will, and only through his will was it created. It's God's will that you're sitting here today, that you're living and breathing. But more than that, referring to our salvation, our spiritual rebirth, this is referring to that. By the word of truth. We're born again, how? Through salvation. By grace, through faith in who? You guys awake this morning? Born again by grace through faith in Christ. It's not of ourselves, not anything we've done. It's not because of our will, it's because God's will for us. And it's God's will that none will perish. But you know, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. But on that point, it's God's will that none should perish. But do people perish? I don't mean die. I mean, do people go to hell? Sure they do. Because the Bible says, you see, we get the idea that if people just go to church, they'll go to heaven. Do you know that is not true? You can go to church every day of your life and not go to heaven. You see, the Bible says, narrow is the way that leads to life. And there are few. I just turned off. You got me? There are few who go that way. But wide is the path, and many are those. Wide is the path to destruction, and many are those that go that way. Let's pray. Temptations, desires, death. We blame a lot of things on Satan when it comes to sin. But the truth is, most of the time, it's because of our own desires. Desires for pleasure, satisfaction, or to somehow self-medicate with sin. The wound that you've been refusing to deal with in spiritual terms. Letting Jesus heal your heart, your mind, or your emotions. So what is it that you're dealing with this morning? Are you dealing with temptation? Are you dealing with sin? Okay, good. You've come to the right place. Because every one of us deal with those things. Every one of us. The key is, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to deal with it? How are we going to handle it? If you're dealing with sin this morning, if you're dealing with a temptation, you should come and lay it at the cross. Come lay it at his feet. Just repent. Come and repent before God. Give him the respect and the honor that he's due and for who he is and who he is able to be in your life. To deliver you from those things, to heal you from those wounds, to purify you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, I want to remind you, if you're dealing with temptation today, it's not shame. Don't let it shame you and let you cause the devil cause you to hide with it. Temptation is not sin. But if you stay with that temptation, if you allow it to hang around, it will conceive and give birth to sin. So whatever it is you may be dealing with this morning, the altar's open. I'm just going to give you a few minutes to come and pray and lay down anything you'd like to lay down. If you want prayer, I'll be here to pray with you. You know, the Bible says pray, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We need Christians. People who say they're Christians need to start believing God and taking Him at His word. We need to do that now. So if you need to do it this morning. God, I pray that Your word, Your grace, Your truth, and Your love cuts deep this morning. Deep into the places that only You can reach. To cleanse and to heal. To cleanse and to heal. To bring health and wholeness to our bodies, our mind, and our spirit. God, we thank You that it's Your will that none should perish. So I pray this morning, if there's one here today without Jesus in their heart, without Jesus as Savior, that they would confess with their mouth and believe in their heart. Confess that He is Lord, the one true God. Believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Receive that forgiveness and put your faith in the one true Savior, Jesus. God, I pray that that person or persons this morning would do that right now by faith and trust Christ as Savior. Thank You, Lord, that You speak to our hearts. Your Holy Spirit brings Your holy conviction, Your holy correctness, Your holy encouragement to our lives. And thank You, Lord, that You desire for us Your heart, Your ways, and Your will. Thank You, Lord, that You provide for us, You protect us. God, thank You that You give us a free will to honor You, to serve You, to worship You with. You don't make us puppets on a string because You desire relationship rather than religion. So I thank You, God, through our own free will, not through any religious string or tie, but through our own will, we can love You, know You, serve You, fellowship with You. Father, as we honor You with our tithes and offerings, we say thank You for how You provide for us, how You promise to provide our needs, and You do that. And God, we say we love You and we trust You. We honor You and serve You with our tithes and offerings in obedience to Your word and our love for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, if you'll come and receive the tithes and offerings this morning, please.